Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's always a great day when we can catch up with Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Gabriel. Good morning, Mark.
I didn't fire him on quick enough, and I didn't tell him Gabe's not here.
Oh, for two. No, wait, Gabriel, and
good morning.
Gabe's not here.
Gabe's not here.
Gabe's off this week. He deserves a little time off, don't you think?
Absolutely. No. I wouldn't have said his name, though. Had I known he wasn't there.
My fault.
No big deal. Good to chat with you, Jason. All right. So is Jordan Love playing his best football of the season right now? And does it portend for the future with this team as they wrap up the season?
Yes. Look, I'm eager to see what he does in the final four games, right? I'm eager to see what he does, especially against Seattle and Minnesota, because I'm still not thoroughly certain of what this team is and what it's capable of. But look, he's healthy. He's making good decisions. He's taking checkdowns. The only other thing I would add, though, is at the same time that I'm agreeing with you that he's playing his best football of the year, there were times early in the season where he was not playing good football at all in terms of making poor decisions and trying to play hero ball when he didn't need to. But B, the way that their offense is operating right now and the limited snaps they're getting in games, you know, another game where they had, where they end up with technically 50 snaps, if you include penalty plays, you know, he threw 20 passes. He only completed 12. I mean, it's not as if they, you know, put the game on his back. And so my only question is, if they get to a game, let's say in the postseason, where they're facing a defense that is shutting down Josh Jacobs, is he going to play at the level that we all expect him to and Packers fans hope him to play at? And I don't know the answer to that. I thought it was really interesting yesterday that Matt LaFleur basically said the way the Lions defended them, and he gave a great answer explaining, you know, why, in his opinion anyway, they didn't do a good enough job of getting the ball to Jaden Reed. But, you know, he basically said, look, they played their base defense all game long. We decided to counter with big people because we still felt like it was important to run the football. So that reduced Jaden Reed's snaps. But it also tells you that even though they were daring the Packers to throw the ball, they were committed to running it. And if there's a game where they do that in the postseason, is Jordan Love going to get the opportunity to grip it and rip it? And how's he going to fare? That's one of the questions I have moving forward.
Jason, I know there's nothing they can do about it this year, but is it time to go and get a number one, a stud receiver? Because I think this is why their third down percentage is so terrible. You know, they all have the same kind of guy. Defensively, they don't have to do any. They don't have to double anybody. Do you think it's finally time? Like, let's go out and get a T. Higgins. So at least we know they're going to double team him, and then the picture becomes easier for Jordan Love.
Yeah. Look, you've been very clear on your opinion on this. I don't have a problem with it. I would say that they are a better third down team when Romeo Doubs is healthy. He's missed the last two games. You remember what he did against, well, I guess I shouldn't say that because now I don't remember which team it was against, but he had those, was it the 49ers where he had three consecutive third down conversion catches? I think that he is that possession James Jones receiver that when you're missing him, when he misses 2.5 games already with that concussion, that impacts their third down. But you're right. Look, everyone who watched Minnesota, because the Packers weren't playing on Sunday, saw what it really does for you when you have a true blue blood number one receiver. And, oh, by the way, a number two who could be a number one on most other teams, right? And we've seen that here, mm-hmm. and just what a difference that makes. You know, I do think, and I think we both talked about this before the season, and this whole idea that, oh, they're better off not having a one. You and I never bought into that. And if mm-hmm. you look at where they are in terms of their passing game, you can argue that whole idea of separation and someone really growing into that number one job has not occurred. And so, do I think they're going to sign T. Higgins, who they could have drafted instead of Jordan Love, and then end up with both of those guys on their team? That would be interesting. I'd be on board for that story. But I just don't see Goody spending exorbitant money on a number one. I think he believes that he can replenish that position through the draft, that all those guys are kind of interchangeable, and he thinks that this is the way to go, not to have the Davante Adams departure. Everyone can say what they want. They can look at how things worked out with the Raiders and now with the Jets. But the fact of the matter is that at one point, there was no doubt he wanted to stay. He got lowballed. He got mad. And Goody, I don't think, really ever really truly wanted to keep him anyway. So it's a young man's game, and he would much rather continue to add young wide receivers than pay someone number one money to come in and be the number one.
To Chewy's point, I was just Googling the old third down conversion percentage. Green Bay 19th in the league on third down. And then, Jason, you were just talking about passing statistics. They are middle of the road, middle of the pack, in passing as a team this season. You talked a little bit about the Jaden Reed thing. I don't want to dive too much more into that. But I am curious about how the locker room is handling the way that these snaps are being shared. When you talk to the guys, is it still that idea of as long as we're winning games, right? Because we saw the stat yesterday, Jason, that the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings are 28-3 against the rest of the NFL. This is the mm-hmm. ultimate, like, cannibalizing in the division going on in the NFC North. What is the mindset of the receivers and the pass catchers with the way that the snaps have shaken out, with the way the targets have shaken out this season?
Well, the only one that I talked to about it yesterday was Jaden Reed himself. And, you know, look, wide receivers are smart enough not to say to reporters, I'm really pissed off. This is ridiculous. I'm supposed to be the number one receiver. Give me the damn ball, like Keyshawn Johnson. Who I don't even know if some of these guys are old enough to remember Keyshawn Johnson as a player. But I feel like it's Groundhog Day, right? Because we had the Romeo Doubs not showing up for work early in the year. Then I and others wrote and talked about Christian Watson not being involved. Now it's Jaden Reed not being involved. Now I think we've run the gamut because, you know, with the number of drops that Dontavian Wicks has had, I don't think we'll be doing a Dontavian Wicks isn't getting enough snaps or getting enough targets story in a couple weeks. But I would say this, Jaden Reed is their leading receiver, both in terms of receptions and in terms of yardage, despite getting 8 catches for 73 yards over the last 4 games. And that happened after he had 5 catches for 113 against the Lions on November 3rd. So he is capable of being maybe not number one of Justin Jeffersonian levels, but he is capable of being a go-to guy. And the fact that he has not gotten the ball and the fact that Matt LaFleur flat out, A, admitted it to us publicly that they need to do a better job, and B, came up to Jaden Reed before practice yesterday privately and told him, hey, we got to do better. We're going to do better. We need to get you involved. This is on us, not on you. Tells you a lot about how much they feel he has to be part of what they do.
Jason, back to the offense real quick. Do you think this is the offense that LaFleur wants to run with a kind of a 50-50 split run to pass? Or is he forced to do that because Josh Jacobs is pretty good? I just get the feeling that he doesn't want to do that. He wants to split to be more 40-60 instead of 50-50?
Yeah, you know this. It's a tale as old as time, which I always love it when I can get a Beauty and the Beast reference in on the show. All these guys, Holmgren, McCarthy, LaFleur, they all want to sling it, right? They all do. I mean, the one that might not have was Mike Sherman, right? Tight ends coach.
Yeah.
Give the ball to Amon Green 355 times during the 2003 season. Like, the offensive linemen and the running backs want to run it. Everybody else wants to chuck it. And so, no, I do think he is running the offense that he thinks gives them the best chance to win. And, by the way, it does. And, by the way, you're right. Josh Jacobs is really good. He's not just pretty good. I mean, he's really good. And I say that as a staunch Aaron Jones supporter, that he has been an upgrade. He just is. And so, and I thought, you know, this is the beauty of working with you and Tausch and Brian Bulaga. I mean, I the idea that they have basically completely overhauled their run game, going from an outside zone system to one where they run duo constantly, and the fact that Matt LaFleur made that change because that's what works best for Josh Jacobs. I was talking to Josh Myers about this. That tells you everything you need to know, that he's that good that they came in here expressly wanting to run that system and did with Aaron Jones for a very long time, and now it's very infrequent that they're running true outside zone. They run inside zone, they run duo, but they don't run a lot of outside zone anymore because it doesn't fit their guy.
Green Bay Packers are fourth in the league right now, guys, in run-pass ratio. 52% run, 48% pass. That's behind Philadelphia, which is running the ball 60% of the time. I imagine Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley will do that. Pittsburgh and then Detroit. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
I would just add, I'd be curious if you take out the 2.5 games that Malik Willis quarterbacked.
Great point, yep.
Where they move in those rankings, if that's a mathematical possibility. Because I think it would still be high, but I think they would dip below 50%, I would guess. So, all right, guys.
This is where...
So hold on, Jason. Jason, one weird question. One weird is AJ Dillon done?
I think he's done here. I don't know if he's done.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, this is the first of all the years I've been doing this. I don't know if I've ever gotten a post take care be good return engagement. Definitely not for an AJ Dillon question. I can tell you that.
It reminded me of when I'm leaving for work in the morning and my girls are like, wait, Mom, one more hug, please. I'm like, okay.
One more hug for Chewy. Yeah, I'm happy to deliver it.
All right,
guys. Please try that again. Take care.
Football season is back, and I'm excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. Got my Celsius right here this morning. Going to be a long one as I got a flight this evening to Los Angeles. Going to need to make sure I have all the energy to get through my responsibilities, and Celsius Energy Drink is going to be there for me every step of the way. You can explore all 27 refreshing flavors. This one, my go-to, the OG, peach vibe. Stay active and energized all game day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.